The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 2 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Forget Charlie's Angels, our protection detail. First, a quotation from Scripture from Genesis 19, verse 17. Lot didn't move right away, so the men grabbed him by the hand. They also took hold of hands of his wife and two daughters. They led all of them safely out of the city. The Lord had mercy on them, and as soon as the angels had brought them out, one of them spoke. He said, "Run for your lives! Don't look back! Don't stop anywhere in the valley! Run to the mountains. If you don't, you will be swept away." Reading this verse, I am reminded that man attempts to copy and imitate God. The show Charlie's Angels aired from 1976 to 1981 and was one of the most successful TV series of the 70s. It was the story of a wealthy mystery man, Charles Townsend, who ran a detective agency via phone through his personal assistant, John Bosley. Charlie's Angels were three beautiful women, all highly trained and fearless graduates of the police academy. They never refused an assignment, confronting evil and stopping bad guys. Somehow they were always victorious in the end and saved the day. While Charlie's Angels were fictional, the angels who rescued Lot and his family were very real. As a Christian, I'm comforted to know that God has assigned angels to stand watch, guard, and protect me. Scripture tells us angels will minister to us in times of need. Angels are part of heaven's personal security and protection unit. Like Charlie, God is invisible, but I know he is there. God always knows when I'm in trouble and need his help. Like Charlie, God does not ask for payment for his angel's assistance. I praise God that, like Charlie's angels, our heavenly angels always win, overcome evil, and defeat Satan's forces of darkness. In 2010, Karen and I were saved from injury and potential death in a car accident because we prayed. Our heavenly angels intervened. In the moment, we both cried out to Jesus for help, and our angels showed up and saved us. Child of God, forget Charlie's angels. I encourage you to put your heavenly angels to work. Cry out to Jesus in a difficult situation and trust him to put his heavenly angels to work on your behalf. Father, thank you for your love and covenant protection. Just as your angels ministered to Jesus in the wilderness after his confrontation with Satan, I know that your angels stand watch over me. They protect me from evil and are at work for me every day. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. He put them all out. Don't be afraid to put doubters out. First, from Scripture in Luke chapter 8, verses 52 through 54, we read, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise." I'm fascinated with Jesus' boldness in this passage. In the eyes of the world, the young girl was dead. Many people believed it, and were expressing their grief over her death. Jesus saw the situation with spiritual eyes, and called things that were not as though they were. For Jesus, she was simply asleep and waiting to be healed. Jesus understood the divine power and authority he carried and knew how to use it. He exercised it by speaking words in agreement with God's will and his word. I'm drawn to the fact that Jesus put all the people out of the room. He removed the doubt, fear, and unbelief. All that remained was the sleeping girl and Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, who would call her from the sleep of death to life with a simple, "Maid, arise." As Christians, we must start imitating Jesus' words and actions, walking confidently in our divine power and anointing, and refusing to see life as the world sees it. We need to use our mouths as creative and life-affirming instruments to speak our desires and believe they will come to pass. Trust Jesus and expect miracles. Refuse to give up hope even when others have given up. Hold fast to your love for God and His Word. Stand on the truth and power of God's Word and His grace. Examine your heart and mind for traces of fear, doubt, and unbelief. When you find them, imitate Jesus. Treat them as unwarranted and unwelcome guests. Open the door to doubters and haters and put them all out. Child of God, who are the doubters and haters in your life? Have you allowed them to hold you back from your divine destiny? I encourage you to copy Jesus. Show them the door and put them out. Speak God's word over yourself. Then arise and walk boldly into your new life. Father, thank you for life-giving and life-changing power of your word. Holy Spirit, teach me to copy and imitate Jesus by removing the doubters and haters from my life. Help me to walk by faith and act in boldness, calling things that are not as though they are. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Complete the work. Faithfulness develops character. From Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Okay, Paul tells us Archippus' assignment came from the Lord. Paul is very specific in his instructions. Complete the work you have received in the Lord. Paul mentions this man again in Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. We read that Archippus, a fellow soldier in ministry, held church meetings in his home. As a coach, I often find myself echoing Paul's encouragement to my clients. Complete the work. Finish the task. Don't give up, cave in, or quit. Our society is plagued by a growing attitude that quitting and giving up is acceptable. Statistics bear this out. 1. Divorce rates are rising for people ages 55 to 65 plus, but declining for millennials who delay marriage or choose to simply live together. 2. High school dropout rates indicate 1.2 million students drop out annually, one every 26 seconds, or 7,000 a day. 3. We have the highest college dropout rate at almost 55%. 4. 31.2% of custodial moms have incomes below poverty level. 5. 5.1 million homes went into foreclosure from 2013-2017. And 6. The default rate on student loans is 11.5% in 2017. These stats reflect people's failure to complete the work they have started and finish the task. I confess I'm growing in my understanding of the importance of faithfulness and refusing to quit on God. Karen and I were given a kingdom assignment in 2009, assist in the planting, startup, and operations of World Changers Church Houston, satellite church under Pastors Creflo and Taffy Dollar. For several years, we labored long and hard and performed tasks we would never have imagined. At times, we grew tired and weary, but we resolved that we would do whatever God told us to do, no matter what. Looking back, I see how God used our faithfulness and obedience as servant leaders to teach us many things and to shape and mold our character. I praise Jesus that He is always faithful and that He is teaching me to be faithful even when I want to quit. To Paul's directive, I say yes and amen. Child of God, I encourage you to complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Father, thank you for your everlasting love and faithfulness. Jesus' willing obedience and faithfulness on the cross encourages me to complete the work that you have given me. Jesus, I am thankful that you never give up or quit on me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I can't, but Jesus can. Trust in Jesus' faithfulness. A quotation from Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is He who is calling you to Himself and utterly trustworthy, and He will also do it, fulfill His call by hallowing and keeping you. Now, this verse comforts and reassures me that I can always count on Jesus. Paul calls Jesus utterly trustworthy. The proof of his claim is that Jesus was obedient and faithful unto death on the cross. Knowing I'm weak and cannot trust my own willpower, I'm comforted to know that I can overcome every test because Jesus is always with me, and I am victorious in him. I can make it most of the time, but with Jesus I make it all the time. When I can't, the Holy Spirit reminds me that with Jesus I can. While I sometimes quit, Jesus never quits on me. As the prodigal son, there were many times in my life where I gave up in defeat, but now, as a born-again son with Jesus as my Savior and friend, I never give up. When I am weak, Jesus is strong. When I am in need, Jesus provides for me in abundance. When I try to deceive myself, Jesus always speaks the truth. When I lose my way, Jesus takes my hand and leads me on the right path. When I sin and act selfishly, Jesus reminds me that I am holy and helps me to willingly serve others. When I'm tempted to give in to fear, with Jesus, I am bold and confident. When I wonder if things are going to work out, with Jesus, I walk in hopeful expectation and know all is well. When I try to do just enough sometimes, with Jesus, I strive for excellence all the time. When I respond in hurt and anger, with Jesus, I walk in unconditional love and compassion all the time. When I'm attacked by Satan's forces of darkness, with Jesus, I have victory by his grace. Child of God, have you come to know the unwavering truth of Jesus' nature? He is always faithful and utterly trustworthy. Even when you can't, I encourage you to remember that with Jesus, you can. Father, thank you for the unwavering faithfulness and trustworthiness of Jesus, my Savior. Holy Spirit, teach me to be faithful, to look always to Jesus as my role model, and remember that when I can't, with Jesus, I can. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Filled with good things once more, God started the restoration business. From Scripture, Zechariah chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, "So the Lord says, I will return to Jerusalem. I will show its people my tender love. My temple will be rebuilt there. Workers will use a measuring line when they rebuild Jerusalem," announces the Lord. He says, "My towns will be filled with good things once more. I will comfort Zion, and I will choose Jerusalem again." Okay, as a mighty man of God, I'm encouraged by this passage. It reminds me that God is always faithful. He honors every promise he makes to us in his word. When we are stubborn, hard-hearted, and disobedient, we will suffer the consequences. However, when we repent of our sins and return to him, he always forgives us and restores us. I am thankful that God is in the restoration business. I have a friend and a brother in Christ who owned a company that specialized in restoring homes and businesses after they were damaged by natural disasters, fires, or other accidents. Their crews came in to wrap, pack, and remove all furniture, equipment, and personal items. They transported and stored all your contents in their warehouse. They replaced damaged roofs, walls, doors, windows, floors, and fixtures. They removed debris, water, and moisture. They painted and installed new carpet and tile. After this, his trucks returned and unloaded the customers' cleaned and repaired furniture, equipment, and personal goods. The home or business was restored to its original state. As this verse shows, God was also in the restoration business. He is an expert at restoration. He restores lost souls, wealth and possessions, families and relationships, sick and ailing bodies, weary minds and aching hearts. God's restoration work always comes with a lifetime guarantee. Not only will your life be restored, but it will be better than before. Child of God, have raging storms made a mess in your life? Are you surrounded by debris, brokenness, and decay? Has sin rained down and produced mold and mildew that is slowly destroying your spiritual health? If so, I pray you listen to the words of Zechariah. Cry out to God today and trust him to hear you. Watch and be amazed as he rebuilds and fully restores your life and fills it with good things once more. Father, I praise you that you are a master builder, and Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives. Your unconditional love, mercy, and grace restore broken lives when we repent and turn back to you. After every loss, you fill me with good things once more. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I say to you, get up, open your mouth, and speak life. In Scripture, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, it says, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. Okay, in this passage, we see Jesus at work, performing a great miracle as he raises a young man from the dead. While the crowd saw death and decay, Jesus saw life and health. They saw a widow who lost a son and had no one to provide for her. Jesus saw a family reunited. The crowd cried tears of sadness and despair. Jesus cried out in confident trust in God and commanded the dead body to get up and live once more. The crowd held back and watched as the coffin passed by. Jesus stepped in, touched the coffin, and performed a miracle. The crowd took the dead son away in the coffin, but Jesus gave the living son back to his mother. The crowd was filled with awe and wonder in Jesus' anointing. Jesus was filled with love and compassion for both the mother and her son. The crowd shared in the widow's grief. Jesus shared in her joy for a risen son. In the end, I am encouraged that the crowd was filled with awe, saw God's anointing on Jesus, and joined Jesus in praise for God's goodness. Child of God, are you sharing good news of Jesus with others? Are you walking in God's power and might and speaking life or death, blessings or curses? I encourage you to be bold, act and command sickness and death to obey you. Speak like Jesus and command the dead areas in your life and the lives of others to get up. Father, thank you for the life-giving and life-changing power of your word. Holy Spirit, help me walk in faith and confident hope. Teach me to speak life and blessings over myself and others, and use me as an instrument of joy. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hope that never disappoints. Faith, hope, and love. In Scripture, in Romans 5, verses 4 and 5, we read, and endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Okay, Paul encourages us to greet troubles with a smile and joy in our hearts, knowing the pressure and hardship we're facing will lead to spiritual growth and maturity. He insists that trials and tests serve to shape and build our character. Once our character has been established and grounded in faith and love, we experience joy and hope. God's love and His promise assures us He will never abandon or forsake us. His love will never fail us. In 2010, Karen and I were at a difficult place in our marriage. We both said and did things that caused hurt and pain. Like many couples, we were tempted to give up on our marriage and say, this is just too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. But in the midst of the storm, Jesus told me to put my trust and hope in Him. He told me not to worry or be concerned about anything Karen said or did. I was to do one thing, put my trust, confidence, and hope in Him, and in His ability to heal and restore our marriage. The Holy Spirit gave me the grace to walk in love with my wife no matter what. He promised that if I walked in love, He would take care of Karen. I committed to walk in love with her even when it was difficult. I praise God I've learned to experience the truth of Paul's words when he says, faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. With Jesus' love and His grace, I can endure all tests, relational, financial, professional, spiritual. I praise God that during the storms of my life, Jesus is with me and the Holy Spirit is teaching me that when I walk in love, by faith, hope abounds and never disappoints. Father, thank you for your unconditional love, mercy, and goodness. Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. I have faith, confidence, and hope in your love. I know you are with me in every storm, that you will never leave me or forsake me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Life is in the blood. The blood of Jesus assures us victory. We begin with this quotation from Scripture, from Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Now Moses tells us that life is in the blood. This was truth in the Old Testament before Jesus came to serve as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Post-crucifixion and resurrection, every believer's relationship with God and inheritance of kingdom promises rests on the blood of Jesus. I've noticed that many Christians have a basic understanding of spiritual maturity with regard to faith, healing, deliverance, and redemption, but are limited in their understanding of the power of the blood of Jesus. We must have faith and trust in the blood of Jesus, both in what it has already done and what it will do. On the cross, Jesus became our sacrifice. His blood was required to tip the scales from sin, evil, and damnation to righteousness, holiness, and salvation. The blood of Jesus is the only sacrifice needed to cleanse us from our sins, redeem and restore us into right standing with God. The blood of Jesus ensures that we can live a life free from sin, curses, strongholds, fear, sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. His blood is the key to an abundant life, peace, joy, and hope. His blood enables us to walk in dominion, authority, and power as a son of God. The blood assures us of a rightful place in the family of God. His blood allows us to come into the presence of God and receive His blessings and favor. Child of God, to ensure that you win in every situation, I encourage you to plead the blood of Jesus over your life every day. Share your testimony and witness to others about the power of the blood. Trust the power of the blood of Jesus and refuse to walk in fear, doubt, and unbelief. Expect to see miracles and supernatural results. Moses was right. There is life in the blood of Jesus. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed His blood for my sins. Today, I plead the blood of Jesus over every area of my life. I know there is abundant life in the blood. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. That we might have hope. God's Word is our source of hope. From Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Paul tells us God's Word was written to give us hope. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, their sin caused a separation from God. Life became hard and difficult with pain and suffering. Over time, emotional and interpersonal strife, sickness and disease, poverty and hunger will cause man to lose hope and become discouraged. A man without hope will slip into despair and give up his will to live. Hope is essential to life. When we hope, we look forward to the future. Hope is the belief that things will change, get better, or improve. Everyone faces trials and tests, disappointments and heartaches, challenges and difficult situations that will tempt them to give up, cave in, and quit. As Christians, we must remember that the Word became flesh in Jesus, and that faith in God's Word in Jesus reconnects us with God. Jesus and His grace hold us up and give us the strength to go on. Jesus stands between our situation and hopelessness. Jesus turns our despair into hope and helps us to believe the storm will pass. Faith in Jesus is our confidence that fear is no match for Jesus' power and His love. Faith enables us to trust Jesus to always make a way out. Jesus gives us the desire to get back up every time we fall. Jesus is the proof that we are more than conquerors in Him. Jesus' faithfulness is our source of courage to face the impossible. Jesus is our source of power, miracles, and healing. Child of God, I encourage you to remember that Jesus is the living Word of God. In Jesus, all that was lost is restored, redeemed, and reconciled to God. In Jesus, we have hope. He came, suffered, died, and rose again on the third day. Jesus is all we need. Father, thank you for the power and truth of your living Word. Your Word teaches me, instructs me, encourages me, and gives me hope to go on no matter what. Jesus, I place my faith, belief, trust, confidence, and hope in you, knowing that you are all I need. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Inherited and anointed power. God uses others to anoint you with His power. From Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read, "I remember your honest and true faith. It was alive first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am certain that it is now alive in you also. That is why I remind you to help God's gift grow just as a small spark grows into a fire. God put His gift in you when I placed my hands on you." Now, Timothy's faith was passed on through several generations from grandmother to mother to him. He inherited their seed of faith. Power and anointing were imparted to Timothy from Paul, his spiritual father and mentor, by the laying on of hands. Like Timothy, I come from a long line of women who took their faith very seriously, until Alzheimer's robbed my 88-year-old mother of her ability to focus and read. She faithfully started her day reading her Bible and devotional books, including mine. She spent time praying for her children, tithed, and attended Sunday service for almost 70 years. She inherited these traits from her grandmother and mother and passed the seed of faith on to me. Like Timothy, I've been blessed and anointed by several men and women of God. For over a decade, I've sat and studied at the feet of Creflo and Taffy Dollar, senior pastors of the World Changers Church International, and Oz Hellman, founder of Marketplace Leaders. I've been blessed to listen to their messages, read their books, observe their actions, and serve in their ministries. My prayer has been that God would bless me and allow His anointing to be passed on from them to me. Child of God, what is your inheritance in the faith? Who did God use to anoint you? Was it planted in your DNA before you were born and passed along from one generation to the next? Do you have spiritual fathers or mothers who teach and instruct, correct and discipline, encourage and equip you? If not, I encourage you to ask God to guide your steps to a spiritually mature and anointed man or woman of God. Sit at their feet and listen. Ask them to anoint you with a portion of their power and walk into your divine destiny. Father, thank you for planting the seeds of your Word in my life through others. I praise you and give thanks for the pastors and teachers who have shared your Word and their anointing with me. Help me teach, equip, and encourage an army of saints dedicated to kingdom work. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Forgetting what lies behind, looking forward, never back. First, in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, "I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward." Now, this verse is a continuation of Paul's discussion about striving for moral and spiritual resurrection with Jesus Christ, and his pursuit of spiritual growth and perfection. He knows there is more to learn, but he is single-minded in his focus to keep growing in Christ. He refers to his one aspiration. Webster's dictionary defines aspiration as strong desire, longing, yearning, or craving. Paul's aspiration is the heavenly prize of salvation, eternity in heaven with Christ. He tells us that he has chosen to forget the past and everything in the past. He presses on and reaches forward and upward to win the prize that God offers because of what Jesus has done. I'm puzzled by the number of Christians who spend time looking over their shoulder into the past with regrets, condemnation, and guilt. Paul tells us to look and reach in one direction and one only, forward and upward. It seems we spend too much time focused on Facebook, photo albums, old cards and letters, personal mementos, trophies, certificates, plaques and medals that commemorate our past. In a similar fashion, we focus on our present circumstance and compare ourselves and our circumstances with others. I confess I have an intense desire and a longing for heaven. While I am happy with my life here on earth, it pales in excitement when I think about spending eternity in heaven with Jesus. Child of God, what is your focus? What are you looking at and reaching for? Are you looking backwards and consumed with things of the past? Or focused on your path forward and upward? I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you set your mind, heart, and spirit on Jesus. Turn to Him. Look and reach up. Father, thank you for the life-transforming power of your living word. Continue to use the Holy Spirit to convict, teach, and instruct me in the path that leads to your perfect call for my life. Help me press on, look forward, and reach upward to Jesus at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. What's the one thing I can pray about with you? Pray now, not later. First, a verse from Scripture, from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Now, my friend and spiritual mentor, Colin Millar, taught me to embrace the power of this verse and to walk it out in my daily life. Colin is a mighty man of prayer. He prays for people, organizations, cities, and nations. He's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings and responds to people in their place of pain and suffering by praying for them. He prays everywhere he goes. He prays in restaurants with waiters, in offices with clients and colleagues during a meeting, on airplanes with the person in the next seat, and in the grocery store aisles with strangers. He seldom has a conversation with someone without asking the question, "What's the one thing I can pray about with you right now?" He has prayed over me and my wife, Karen. I am always amazed at the peace in my spirit after his fervent prayers. After witnessing Colin, I asked God to give me the heart to pray now with others. I confess it felt awkward and nervous at first, as I looked for the right moment to redirect the conversation and ask the question, "What is the one thing I can pray about with you right now?" I am amazed by the look of surprise on people's faces and watch as it changes from hesitation, eagerness, and excitement. I ask them to tell me their greatest need or area of struggle and explain that I will pray specifically for that. I invite the Holy Spirit to speak through me and allow His voice to direct my prayer. Often, people are moved to tears during the prayer as they release their hurt and pain. Afterwards, their faces radiate with a sense of calm and peace that was not there before our prayer. And as they express their appreciation and turn to walk away, I too am overwhelmed by peace and joy. I can see Jesus smiling at me and hear Him say, "Well done, my good friend and faithful son." Child of God, I encourage you to stop and pray now with others. Trust Jesus to hear your prayers. Then watch as blessings rain down from heaven and change things, including you. Father, thank you for using Jesus to show us the power of prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me with courage and boldness to stop and pray now with others everywhere I go. Teach me to believe and have confidence that prayer always changes things, including me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Surely I will be with you. I will give you victory. First, we quote from Judges, chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. Gideon said to him, O Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talked with me. Do not leave me, I pray you, until I return to you, and bring my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you return. I'm drawn to Gideon's conflicting emotions and actions in his encounter with God. At first, we see doubt and unbelief in his ability to do what God has asked him to do. He even asks God to prove that he is really talking to him. Suddenly, he demonstrates faith, trust, and divine wisdom. He recognizes God's voice and begs him to wait while he goes and prepares an offering. He understands he must not come before God empty-handed. He understands that in order to receive God's anointing, he must complete the blessing exchange. Sadly, Gideon continued to test God for proof that he would honor his promise. God was very patient and tolerated his doubt and unbelief. Finally, God decided it was time for Gideon to take a leap of faith and trust him completely. God instructed Gideon to send 30,000 of his troops back home. He is left with only 300 men to fight the Midianites. Scripture tells us that, with God's help, his 300 men defeat the enemy, and God richly blessed him for his faithfulness and obedience. Child of God, are you walking in doubt, fear, and unbelief? Are you demanding that God give you proof that he will honor his word and his promises? I encourage you to offer a sacrifice and lay your pride, doubt, and unbelief at his feet. Like Gideon, trust him with all your heart, mind, and spirit. Know this, when you do, be prepared to watch as God joins you and uses you to do the impossible. Father, thank you for your unwavering love, patience, and kindness. Holy Spirit, teach me to trust and lean on you. Lord, forgive me for all the times that I have doubted you and your promises. Holy Spirit, help me to always be obedient and faithful. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. With all your heart, whatever you do. First, a quotation from Scripture, Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Married man, I urge you to pay attention to this verse. I'm drawn to the plain, simple, yet powerful force of this verse. Most of the time, the verse is expounded upon in sermons and referred to as the Christian's directive for our work life. The Holy Spirit revealed that this verse has a much broader application, especially for married men. Jesus has instructed us, in fact, commanded us, to love our wives. The only way we can do this is by surrendering ourselves fully to Jesus so that his love can abound in us. With his love and grace in us, we can love our wives like he loved us completely and unconditionally. I remember that when Karen and I saw the film Fireproof, it really spoke to us, so we decided to buy 2 copies of the book and go through it as a couple. Reading the book fostered our decision to seek a Christian counselor to get help with our relationship. George, our marriage counselor, was 74, and he had been married for almost 50 years. He was a former associate pastor and a mighty man of God. Going to see George was a real blessing for us. We learned many things and were reminded that a successful marriage requires a lot of hard work. It also requires you to have an open and understanding mind and a hearing heart. During my prayer time one morning, as I prayed about our counseling and the things we were learning, God spoke to me and said, Be loving and kind to your wife at all times, no matter what. Right then, I made God a promise to be obedient and follow his instructions. Now, in moments of difficulty or conflict, I am still. I focus my mind and heart on Jesus. I ask the Holy Spirit to give me grace and help me walk in love. I have learned that when I am pleasing to the Lord, then I will be pleasing to my wife. Child of God, the next time you experience a moment of frustration, hurt, or anger with your spouse, be still and cry out to the Lord. In that moment, focus on your love walk and strive to please God with all you do. Do this in faith, knowing that you will have a great reward, a happy spouse, and a blessed and godly marriage. Lord, thank you for my wife and a godly marriage. Holy Spirit, continue to teach me and help me to walk in the love and peace of Jesus at all times. In Jesus, I can be pleasing to my wife and others. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. A final word of encouragement. I want to thank you for joining me on this journey exploring life with Jesus. I praise God for your willingness to spend time in God's Word and your desire to develop a deeper relationship with Jesus. I pray that you have discovered many rich and wonderful things about yourself and your relationship with Jesus as you hear these words. Whenever I share my dirt road encounter with Jesus in 2009, people ask, what has changed in your life since that divine encounter? And I answer, everything. I go on to share the moment as I watched my child self run into the loving arms of Jesus. Suddenly, I felt his strong arms lift me up and swing me around in circles. I sensed his lips kissing the top of my head. I was lulled into a state of peace as his heartbeat reverberated in my ears. I felt a level of acceptance, affirmation, and safety beyond anything I had ever known as I heard his gentle whisper, I love you, son. Yes, the moment changed my life. His Spirit continues to wake me up in the early morning hours to go deeper in my intimate conversations. I talk to Jesus, and he talks to me. His Spirit equips me to serve as his ambassador on the weekly prayer calls and my calls with my clients. Throughout the day, I visualize Jesus sitting across from me. We discuss my praise and worship revelations, the devotionals, prayer calls, and my personal and professional challenges. I ask him questions. He gives me answers, advice, counsel, and encouragement. If you started this journey with me as an unbeliever, I pray that these pages may have answered some of your questions about Jesus and the life with Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit has led you to invite Jesus to be your personal Savior and Lord. If you joined me as a mature believer, then I pray that you have come to experience deeper encounters with Jesus and include Jesus in all you do every minute of the day. Expect to bump into him around every corner. Cry out to him when you encounter a problem. Rely on his wisdom when you need an answer to a difficult problem. Remember, prayer is simply conversation. He longs to be included in every situation. He wants to just hang out with you. I've come to realize that he likes to have fun and has a great sense of humor. Often we laugh together as we recount the day and some of my foolish decisions and moments of independence. I've learned that Jesus is a very gentle and patient teacher who is always willing to reveal hidden mysteries. While he sometimes makes me wait longer than I want for an answer, I've come to trust his perfect timing. I'm learning to look and see his presence in all of the situations where I thought I was on my own. I've come to realize that he was always there, standing in the shadows, just waiting for me to turn to him. Child of God, I pray that God has used this book to draw you closer to him. As you listen to my testimonies or story, I hope you came to realize that I was simply recounting his story of the good news since he came into my life. And lastly, I want to encourage you to love and serve others. Commit each day to imitate Jesus, to be loving, compassionate, accepting, and forgiving. Trust Jesus and the Holy Spirit to mold and shape you into his likeness. As you experience deeper levels of intimacy with Jesus, be sure to share your testimonies and praise reports with others so that they too may be encouraged. In Numbers chapter 6, God instructed Moses to speak these words over the Israelites, "The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you, and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you, and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Today I speak these words and God's blessings over you and yours. I pray that you will get understanding and be encouraged. A final word of encouragement. I want to thank you for joining me on this journey exploring life with Jesus. I praise God for your willingness to spend time in God's Word and your desire to develop a deeper relationship with Jesus. I pray that you have discovered many rich and wonderful things about yourself and your relationship with Jesus as you hear these words. Whenever I share my dirt road encounter with Jesus in 2009, people ask, "What has changed in your life since that divine encounter?" And I answer, "Everything." I go on to share the moment as I watched my child self run into the loving arms of Jesus. Suddenly, I felt his strong arms lift me up and swing me around in circles. I sensed his lips kissing the top of my head. I was lulled into a state of peace as his heartbeat reverberated in my ears. I felt a level of acceptance, affirmation, and safety beyond anything I had ever known as I heard his gentle whisper, "I love you, son." Yes, the moment changed my life. His spirit continues to wake me up in the early morning hours to go deeper in my intimate conversations. I talk to Jesus and he talks to me. His spirit equips me to serve as his ambassador on the weekly prayer calls and my calls with my clients. Throughout the day, I visualize Jesus sitting across from me. We discuss my praise and worship revelations, the devotionals, prayer calls, and my personal and professional challenges. I ask him questions. He gives me answers, advice, counsel, and encouragement. If you started this journey with me as an unbeliever, I pray that these pages may have answered some of your questions about Jesus and the life with Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit has led you to invite Jesus to be your personal Savior and Lord. If you joined me as a mature believer, then I pray that you have come to experience deeper encounters with Jesus and include Jesus in all you do every minute of the day. Expect to bump into him around every corner. Cry out to him when you encounter a problem. Rely on his wisdom when you need an answer to a difficult problem. Remember, prayer is simply conversation. He longs to be included in every situation. He wants to just hang out with you. I've come to realize that he likes to have fun and has a great sense of humor. Often we laugh together as we recount the day and some of my foolish decisions and moments of independence. I've learned that Jesus is a very gentle and patient teacher who is always willing to reveal hidden mysteries. While he sometimes makes me wait longer than I want for an answer, I've come to trust his perfect timing. I'm learning to look and see his presence in all of the situations where I thought I was on my own. I've come to realize that he was always there, standing in the shadows, just waiting for me to turn to him. Child of God, I pray that God has used this book to draw you closer to him. As you listen to my testimonies or story, I hope you came to realize that I was simply recounting his story of the good news since he came into my life. And lastly, I want to encourage you to love and serve others. Commit each day to imitate Jesus, to be loving, compassionate, accepting, and forgiving. Trust Jesus and the Holy Spirit to mold and shape you into his likeness. As you experience deeper levels of intimacy with Jesus, be sure to share your testimonies and praise reports with others so that they too may be encouraged. In Numbers chapter 6, God instructed Moses to speak these words over the Israelites. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you, and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you, and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Today I speak these words and God's blessings over you and yours. I pray that you will get understanding and be encouraged.